Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good night.
Welcome to the Juan Epstein Podcast, my man Lord Digger. Brooklyn's in the motherfucking building.
You already know.
And the Bronx will be here soon when Syph walks in. He's running a little bit late. It is a beautiful, I mean, is today one of those days? This is one of the best New York City days you could have.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a Friday. So when you get beautiful weather on a Friday.
Then you will kind of imagine what the weekend is supposed to roll into.
It feels so good outside.
Yeah.
I have a question. Even though, like, you've been a musician your whole adult life, do you still love Fridays? Like, do you still feel the Friday vibe?
Yeah, kind of like next Friday, though, because I'm always smoking. So that when that Friday comes up, it's always like, you know, I'm thinking of weed and shit. So it's like, yeah, you ain't doing shit, Craig. It's Friday. You're going
to
smoke.
This is a good topic to get to before Syph gets here. And we go back and throughout your history, but you do love smoking weed. Since I first met you, that's one of your calling cards. I mean, you smoke a shitload of weed.
Yeah. See, I'm not really recognized for it. People just think that it just popped up. Like, I've been smoking since 11 years old. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry.
Do you still get high when you smoke that much?
Yeah.
Do you still get high?
You know why? Because I'm always with the highest grades of weed that no matter what, you know, people like, yo, I got sour, but my sour is like probably higher than your sour. Yeah, your THC is probably like, yeah, like 1%.
Have you tried these other ways of smoking? Like, do you like vaping or dabbing or
as
any of those
speak,
things?
As I hold in front of you, that's
weed.
Oh, of course it is. This is Kush.
Really?
Yes. I've been smoking this walking around and by the men in the room.
Yo, listen, because here?
Yes.
So, do you want to get high for the first time?
Nah, thanks.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the best way to go, Syph.
Never is doing that, it or trying.
This is the best way.
You want to press it? Press it. It's a vape.
Time ever to get high is in this studio.
See that button?
Right here, right?
Press that. Press that. And let it go.
Well, I blew it in Syph's face, at least.
Yeah, well, this is a...
All right, Syph, you're leading the podcast from here on in. It's funny, we started talking... I'm glad that you busted out the weed, because we were talking about smoking weed, because I figured it was a good subject before Syph got here.
Of course.
For how much weed this guy smokes. So the first time I ever met him, I feel like was smoking a blunt in my apartment.
Yeah, a couple of them.
Yeah, with my buddy JD.
Yeah, Team Demo.
Which reminds me, you know, while you're here, before we get to your story, I know you were very cool with Sean Price.
Yes.
And that must have been a rough thing. So my condolences. Everyone, rough for everyone, but my condolences.
Definitely. Man, it was, you know, that situation is ill because I was just getting back from Europe. And I saw the post on Facebook and I immediately called my sister and I was like, tell me it's not true. Like, what, you know, I know that she wouldn't joke about some shit like that, but maybe I was thinking because I've been gone for like 34 days. I was reading some shit backwards or some shit. So I immediately called her and then she said, yeah. And then I was in customs. I couldn't even leave. They had grabbed me up for some shit. And so I was just sitting there. I couldn't use my phone. I didn't even know what the fuck was going on. So I was there for like about an hour and some change. And that shit was just heartbreaking. It's like, this is what I come back from. You know, Europe, I come back from Europe to this, the very same day, like, that shit was like...
I didn't realize that I sounded crazy until after the fact, but I now realize I sounded crazy because a couple hours after it happened, I texted Ninth Wonder, and I'm like, yo, blah, blah. I was like, I know this sounds crazy, but is there any way that Sean P is joking? Because if anyone would pull off some weird shit and maybe film the whole thing just to see how people would react and to be like, oh, I wanted to see what people would say. You know, like, I was like, Sean would do it. Like, Sean had a very
imaginative
and borderline, like, could have like Andy Kaufman like sense of humor. Like, he would do some weird.
Yeah.
And Ninth called me right away. I was like, Rosenberg, this is not a joke. What are you talking about? Like, what do you said? This is, and I was like, I guess that is a crazy thing to think, but I couldn't process it.
Right.
He was someone who was around so much, I just couldn't process it. Anyways, rest in peace, Sean Price.
Did you ever find out what happened?
People, I still haven't heard anything besides that he passed away in his sleep.
That's all.
You know,
that's all the information, man. I mean, I don't even want to know anything else. I try to just, you know, kind of like not think about it, but you got to think about it. But so he passed away in his sleep, and that's just it, man.
That's all we know.
That's it.
Lord Digga, the story, Cypher, the first time you heard of Lord Digga?
I guess Master Ace album.
Second album or first album? Were you talked about on the first? Was you talking on the first album? Were you on the first
Slaughterhouse.
Album? No, it was just Slaughterhouse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what were you doing before that? Before we heard about you on Slaughterhouse, what was Master Ace doing? Where in Brooklyn were you? What's going on, Lord Digga?
Before that, high school. Kind of, he went to the same high school,
like, which was
Sheepshead Bay out in Brooklyn. Shout out to all my Sharks. He went there like 4 years before me, so I came in like the tail end pause of where he was graduating. So like he was leaving like 84, whatever. I was coming in at that time. So, okay. Boom, connection through football team. Knew him through that.
He played. You both played football.
Yeah, he played sort of kind of, but you know,
he was on the team.
He was on the team. He was just there.
Now listen, you're not going to go after Ace for his football skills too, are we? Not.
He's kind of he wasn't good.
What position did he play?
Him?
Yeah.
He thought he was a receiver.
And what did you play?
I played quarterback.
You were quarterback?
Yeah.
Starting quarterback for the team?
Yes.
For Sheepshead Bay?
Yes.
So if quarterback is the guy who throws
it. No, not that. Does he not fuck with Ace?
And, oh. No.
Not really.
Okay.
Sorry.
At some point, he wanted to clear some things up from when Ace was with us.
Definitely. This is not an Ace bashing
session.
No.
Okay.
We're gonna clear some things up, but we're here to talk about me and what I'm doing.
Isn't it funny, Sai? It's so funny. Like the things that happen on our podcast, to us it's always just like history.
Yeah.
And we forget that it's actually people's relationships.
Yeah, it's not
just a book of hip hop.
This is life. This is real shit. This is not no some fake beef shit, Meek Mills and fucking this nigga and fucking Drake and all. Nah, this is real shit.
Real life.
Real shit.
So
but it's always different. Every person inside their soul has a slightly different version of how everything went.
Of course. Right. Everyone's human. Everyone's human.
Yeah, sorry.
So you know you meet Ace through that. Are you doing music yet when you're playing football and you're in high school? You're just listening to hip-hop.
Listening. I was more fucking dancer. I was popping.
Everyone was dancing. Like
that. I was a dancer.
What part of Brooklyn?
Sheepshead.
Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, out in...
That was a school, though.
What? Yeah, I was in Brownsville. Oh. And then I moved to Flatbush.
Okay.
So, I was on some real dancing shit back then. So
Were the poppers letting you pop and the breakers letting you break?
No, it was no breaking. It was no floor work. It was just really just popping shit on some real fucking Boogaloo shrimp shit back then. So,
Sife, how's your Boogaloo shrimp?
I'm more of a Boogaloo clam guy.
So you're not making any music yet?
No, not yet.
Is Ace already doing it?
Yeah, Ace is already in some type of form of doing what he's doing and shit with a little group that he had for some dudes I was in high school as well. And he was already in some type of...
situation.
Right.
But not with...
not with Marley yet.
Not with Marley yet.
Nah.
Not with Cold Chillin'.
Nah.
So, did you guys become friends before the first Ace album? Take a look around.
Sort of, like, because I said, like, the whole shit with the football team shit was kind of like connected because we were kind of staggered in age, and he had some people that graduated with him that had brothers that were playing with me, so we were all kind of like connected. So
got
his
it.
Graduating class,
still come
down,
around,
right,
see
right,
the games,
see the game. So we were all kind of connected like through that shit. So that's how it kind of like trickled into now knowing that he's serious about his career. He goes on to college, comes back, bong, bong. His shit starts to, you know, by 88 or so, right when I'm leaving school and shit, his shit is, you know, formulating and basically.
Saif, I played Music Man first. You play Music Man first or you play Me and the Biz first?
From that album, only Me and the Biz.
Really? But not into Music Man?
Yeah.
Word?
I like Music Man.
I don't really know that album.
Me and the Biz was a big, but if you were ahead, it had the really memorable video. Were you guys excited? Was this a situation where you're like, dude, this is dope. This guy has an album. This is a big deal. You weren't a part of it at all.
No, I wasn't excited about it. No, but I thought it was cool. I just thought that he was going against the grain with shit that you, the music back then was street shit, you know, like talking about, you know, what the fuck is going on, you know, message and shit like that. So him, to me, with that, was going against the grain, sort of kind of like.
So it wasn't for you musically?
Not really. Like, some of the shit was cool, but no, I wasn't fucking with that. That's when now you, in my mind, I'm saying now, like, yo, at some point, yeah, I would like to help him.
But how do you know that you have anything to offer? Like, what were you doing? How did you learn music?
Being that, okay, let's go back one step. When I was in Florida, where I was born, Miami, Opa-locka, I had DJs, my cousins, and they actually used to battle Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker had a mobile DJ set called Ghetto Style DJs. So we were the Opa-locka DJs. So basically, Record Pool Records come from New York.
Okay.
They make it down to Florida eventually. So,
and how old are you at this point? How old are we talking?
Around, I said, like, about 11, 12. This is right before I come up.
Before you go up top.
Right. I come up top doing high school shit. This is, like, 11, 12 or so. I'm running around with them. So music is already now, like, they didn't play a lot of New York shit, but the shit that they did
play. What were they playing? I was going to ask. Like, what are they playing down there?
Like, yo, like, the crazy shit, like, Mass Production, Firecracker, shit like that. Like,
so you know what
KC and... KC and the Sunshine Band, Do You Want to Party and shit like that. Damn, man. Like, just crazy shit, man. Just Rolls Royce and different shit. Like, Jive. Remember the Jive record used to have all the fucking BPMs on it with all the fucking beats? Mm-hmm. They used to play shit like that.
All grooves just and grooves just that shit.
Just classic shit. So, basically, like, L.A.
Because this is, like, early 80s in Miami.
Yeah, this is, like, 80. This is, like, 82, 83, like, 81.
Isn't Miami pretty repug at that point? Isn't this, like, the, like...
Cause Narcos.
Exactly. Like, this is Narcos time. This is when it's getting run over
cocaine
by drugs.
Cowboy.
Yeah, this is the story that you see about, okay, you know, I don't want to fuck it up for people, but Scarface is fictional, but it was real shit like that.
Right.
Like, the Cubans down there, and yeah, it was real.
And Luke was starting to pop as a DJ.
Luke was popping as a DJ. So basically, this is where home dancing skill too, because now my cousins and them were battling shit, and they would have records and battling it in front of storefronts. This shit was ill, yo. Like, they would battle in fucking front of storefronts. Like, they would come up, Luke would come up with fucking speaker cases stacked up high, blasting shit, and then when he felt that he was going to lose, he would go back home and bring more. Like, yo, okay, oh, you get, I'll be back. Party done. Luke kills it. Forget about it. Ghetto Style DJs. True story. Anybody that knows about early Miami, Opa-locka, them times, they know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about. Mobile DJ sets everywhere.
So when you got to New York, did you instantly get into New York hip hop? You started listening to the radio?
I was already into it. They was laughing at me. My fucking moms brought down King Tim III.
Wait, your mom is from New York?
No, my mom's she's from
Florida.
From Florida, but she moved up top when she attended college out in Iowa, Chicago area, and then she just worked her way to New York, so she was just up here. So,
gotcha.
So she would come down and visit.
You weren't with your mom?
No.
Who were you with?
I was with my grandma.
With grandma in Florida.
So she would come down and bring records.
Sife, do you remember when your mom gave you a copy of King Tim III Personality Jock?
No.
Listen.
Never happened.
She was trying
to your hip hop.
She was kind of like putting me onto the shit. Like, yo, look, this is what's going on up here. And obviously my friends would laugh. Like, what the fuck is this shit? What is this? Hip to the hop to the hip. Like, well, nah, we don't fuck with this shit. So yeah, I was kind of like getting groomed from early. So now by the time I got here, I was kind of used to this sound already. And I wanted more of it. So that kind of like trickled into now, yo, I'm gonna find out what the fuck is going on up here. I want to be a part of this shit. So me being the person that I am, instead of just jumping into it, study first, watch, listen. Don't wake up one morning, I'm gonna be a rapper, mom. Come get the fuck out of here. That's not happening. So study. So basically, that's what I did.
And did you where you were in Brooklyn? Who were the DJs around you? Were there other DJs around in the neighborhood?
In that neighborhood, I didn't really know too many people because we didn't stay there that long. She was in Brownsville longer than me. I basically came up.
So your experience with that kind of vibe, the outdoor party situation, like, that was more a Florida thing for you than New York.
Yeah, it was more Florida thing. But at the same time, I did have a couple of DJs. Now that I think, my This shit is funny. A dude that used to like kind of like watch my brother, he was a DJ, Ricky. So used to go to his crib. He used to have turntables like in the building. And he's playing fucking shit, you know, with the speaker up to the fucking window. And he's playing shit for the whole projects, basically out the window. So basically that experience started with him, with Rick in the fucking room.
And then, so did you learn to DJ? Is that the first step?
Oh, no, hell no. I would never try. I wasn't trying to attempt that shit.
Why? So what did you do? What musically, what did you decide to do?
I just decided to fucking just dance and listen to fucking records. And pick out shit that I felt that was good. I was good at finding records and shit and listening to shit and say, yo, look, we got to play this or, yo, play this shit.
Mm.
I was just like a fucking real crate monkey. Like, they just sent me to go find records, basically. The record boy. And then after that, like, soon, what I did, too, when we didn't DJ at actual gigs, I would just go in a truck. Because I used to have the truck set up with the fucking shit inside. So I used to just plug up a fucking extension cord and sit inside the truck and pull records out and listen to them. Just sit there with the headphones on.
Like, what the fuck? In the truck?
In the fucking truck. Fly the doors. It was a big-ass truck. Like, if you ever see a big-ass food truck, like a UPS truck, it was like one of those. And they have everything inside of there packed up, stacked up nice, and the console would fit right here. It'd be enough space so that you could sit on a record crate and listen to records.
You ever seen this, Seth?
No, not like that.
What do you mean? What have you seen?
I've seen trucks with equipment in it, but nowhere where you could, like, play it inside the truck.
Yeah. Play it right on the fucking, play it on the little fucking little, on the mid-range monitors if you wanted to, but I just plugged the headphones in. I ain't need no fucking, sit right there, fucking headphones, bong.
What about just listening to a record player in your house?
Didn't really have records like that. So my moms would just bring down whatever. I didn't have a lot of records until I actually started buying shit. So the record pool would send them to them, so why not there?
All right, so
that's the best shit right
so
there.
So before you started fucking with Ace, at what point did you learn to rap or produce to the pre-Slaughterhouse?
Long story, make it real short. I started out with just different people, watching people different, doing different things on different equipment. Like one person, my dude Big Ezo, shout out to Ezo. Ezo was the DJ for the group Dreadnoughts.
Yep.
You know the Dreadnoughts.
I do. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So he was the DJ for the Dreadnoughts. So basically, he had equipment from early. Richie Rich, Daddy Rich, lent him his MPC at the time. So now we're fucking with that over by Ezo's crib. So that's how it kind of started with just
the actual touching of equipment and starting to like.
Right, just getting the feel of just, okay, yeah, okay, you got to do this, you got to do this, trim this. So it actually started there. Then, ironically, Mr. C knew Norm, who was eventually became Witch Doc for the Blues Brothers. He worked at ASCAP. So I connected with him. This is all after high school. So I connected with
him.
How
did you
know C? Through Ace. Because of Cold Chillin'.
Okay.
There you go. So now, you know.
So now Ace. So wait, at some point after high school or later in high school, you connected with Ace more. Like right. You guys had an actual connection at this
right,
point.
Right, right. At some point we had an actual connection.
There's a lot of connections though.
Yeah.
It's just, we're looking at it like he connected with Ace because eventually Slaughterhouse formed. But I bet you there was a lot of, in Brooklyn, especially in Brooklyn, like every DJ knows a rapper and a producer. They're all like intertwined,
it was all,
yo.
It was all.
It's just, we look at it as outsiders. It's like, okay, Scratch was with EPMD.
Right.
Daddy Rich was with Third Base.
Right,
but
right,
all
right.
Them dudes knew each other, traded records, made beats with each other, right. Did parties
like,
together.
Even before Ace, you got to understand. I mean, now, if you move forward a little bit, we out of Browns, but we in Flatbush. Who the fuck is in Flatbush at this time? Come on. Chubb Rock lives down the block from me. Mm-hmm. That's Troy Ave right there. He's on Troy. You got Special Ed. You got.
Hold on,
you got,
don't do fast.
Come on, man. You got the Educated Rapper and fucking U2FO. They all around Flatbush. Howie T is up the block. It's connected. Come on, like this is like a fucking melting pot now.
Where's Hot Dog?
Hot Dog. I don't know. I think he was on the other side, like Avenue H, Avenue J, and shit. So somewhere over there, I don't know. But yeah, you got to think about this shit. So you know,
a lot of shit going on.
A lot of shit going on. So even if now, say I don't connect with Ace, at some point,
yeah,
something was gonna happen. I was in Chubb Rock's basement, man, chilling with the with like the first artist I ever produced for, my dude S. Don. We in Chubb Rock's basement drinking fucking liquor, beer. Come on, like, are you serious? Like, come on, shit.
But this at
shit
the time, inevitable. You don't realize that this is anything special or weird.
No, I knew it was, but at the time, I'm like, it's like cool shit because it's like these niggas, like the niggas that grew up in the hood. Like,
and you're already seeing Chubb Rock on TV too.
All that. But we in his fucking basement like this, drinking beers from a fucking bar.
And how popping? How popping? Yo, Syph, we need a Chubb Rock episode.
His mom on the bar, some crazy shit. So he just had crazy beer and liquor
in the crib. How popping was he in Brooklyn with Chubb Rock?
Very. He couldn't go outside like that. Like, really, really. Like, motherfuckers were like, yo, shit, plus he's big. You're not going to miss him. Mm-hmm. He goes to the corner store, like, yo, this go Chubb Rock, 1990. Yeah. Niggas is like,
and where is Chubb Rock?
With a hat trying to hide.
No, you can't. you can't hide. Fuck out of here.
all right. So here's the thing that we have to get, because there's other stuff to your story besides Ace.
Right.
I want to hear about Biggie. We want to hear about.
Oh, this is all intertwined.
Old Dirty Bastard by Flo. So we got to get there. So let's go. Can we jump up to here?
Oh, yeah. So now.
May I see your driver's license, please?
Me and Norm and shit, we start to connect on some music shit, but I'm fucking with Norm for me. Because now I'm starting to fucking write and do some shit. So you know, I'm like, yo, look, I need tracks. And Norm was involved in already with a group called Witch Doctor and the Dominating 3MCs. So basically, as we started to just...
But so Norm is Master Ace?
Norm is Witch Doctor from the Blues Brothers.
Right? Norm was Witch Doctor.
From the Blues Brothers, right. So that's why I'm getting to... This is how we get to
brother
this.
Norman. Some shit he
says. I don't know. He says, welcome to the Bates Motel. Oh, yeah. My name is Norman. Norman. Yeah, yeah. But he's just quoting this
just,
movie.
I thought
that's what I thought. I was like, oh, well, he does say my name is Norman. So maybe that's what that says.
That's some funny shit, yo. The things that people think.
I only thought of it right now. Because you guys talking about Norman. I was like, did you explain that?
Yeah, but that's why I'm getting to this part right here. So how we get to now, Slaughterhouse. You know, me and Norm connected at ASCAP, and we started working together on tracks. So now that I know that he's doing what he's doing, working on a new album, I started to now like, yo, look, we need to find a way to try to get him some of these tracks, my nigga. Like, you sitting on crazy shit. Like, look at the shit that we trying to do together. We need to try to get these to Ace for this new album. So basically, this is how now that connection formed on me now trying to give him music, tracks that, you know, Norman and we were formulating this shit. And
what, do you remember any of the early ones that you gave him?
Just played one.
This one? Punk motherfuckers didn't know I had the balls to come around their block with my cock diesel system and turn it up to 10 and then start to diss them, man. They didn't want to. Now, Cypher, you love this album, don't you?
Yes. One of my favorite albums.
How would you describe the sound of Slaughterhouse? Because it's very unique. It has
feel. I mean, except for that song. There's no real singles. It's not like a single-driven album. It's like the whole album is a movie. Like
it's a thematic record.
The whole shit is connected from his Jeep getting stolen or radio getting stolen out of his Jeep and the shit with Paula Perry where he's trying to rob the girl. Like it's a connected album. Like the whole thing. But I don't know the sound.
But it's dark too. Very dark. It has a real feeling.
A lot of blues on there. A lot of people weren't using blues records like that.
Man, blues, jazz type of kind of like a mixture between Tribe Called Quest with some jazz darker, type though. Of shit. Darker, heavier.
Yeah, jazz was being used more often, but this one had like the darker side of it.
I'm a little concerned about what I have on this hard drive. So I'm going to have to go on the internet because there's a few things that I'm not going to have that I'm going to need to play off this album.
Mm.
So who comes up with the concept of the album? When you bring him the music.
There's like a lot of people around.
Yeah, it feels from like a lot of voices.
Listening to shout outs on the album, there's...
Ice U Rock.
Yeah, Ice U Rock.
Was Ice U Rock System 3 by Cock Diesel?
Ice U Rock was basically a part of that whole thing when we talked about high school. Those were some of the guys that
but how many got who's in that?
It was three dudes. It was
there were Ice, rappers?
It was two rappers and like a guy that you would consider like would be like what is LL Cool J's dude, Jerome, that stands on stage and shit like that.
Yeah.
It'd be like one of those type of dudes. It's just a dude that's there like for a fucking.
And there's Paula Perry.
Paula Perry.
What's Four Building?
For that right there, I really didn't understand that one.
Okay.
Like, I knew what they was, I kind of knew, but I didn't know.
There were people? Like, Four Building was a group?
I guess it was a group of buildings.
Oh.
Of four buildings that they basically hung around or came out of. I don't know. I never really got that story on that one.
Sorry. I'm YouTubing music. Uh-huh. So we have options here of a few things to play.
Uh-huh.
And this just came up. Have you ever seen this up before? Eminem Remix Slaughterhouse for Delicious Vinyls Remixology?
Yeah, I know about that.
Is he on the original beat or is he on a different beat? They took the beat too.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I knew about it. I never heard it. Though.
All right, before we get done, I have to see what that sounds like.
Yeah.
So did you and Ace, I mean, you know.
Umdada?
I don't know. I don't know what the fuck that was. Rolling with Umdada.
I'm holding my swollen.
I never knew what the fucking Project Dance was either. I don't know what the fuck that
the
is.
Project
I don't know what the Project
Yo, listen,
dance
man. There were some good lines, okay?
But what the fuck is that? I don't know. Well, I asked niggas on the projects. I don't know what a Project Dance is. What is that?
Listen, here's what you're not. Lord Digga,
what the fuck is that?
You're going to get the opportunity to say whatever it is you need to say that was somehow misconstrued.
Yeah.
But what we're not going to do
is
take a shit on this Slaughterhouse album.
No, we're not going to shit on that.
Because this shit is, you guys, regardless how it is now, y'all came together for something fucking special.
Yeah.
We agree. I mean, do we agree?
No, we agree on that.
Okay.
Definitely.
So this was a big one, of course, too. How much of the record did you guys do?
I don't know, like four songs on there.
Which ones did you guys do?
Well, you got that. You got Jeep Ass Nigga. You got Who You Jacking. You got there's something else. There's two more, man. I can't remember right now. I smoke like hell.
I know. Who did Saturday Night Live?
Unique, Icy Rock.
So Unique was in Icy Rock.
Yeah.
Maybe he was the U in Ice U Rock. That's what I'm going to assume.
There you go.
Oh, you're good. That makes sense, Dave.
There you go.
Oh, is this a video? I forgot.
Yeah. Fire. But this is Premiere did the scratching on this.
Yeah.
Are you in this video?
Of course.
Is that you right there?
Yellow polo.
Hold on.
Ashley, that's Hilfiger.
Why does it sound like you say DJ Premier right there?
It is.
I just said DJ Premier did the scratches.
When we first did this shit, everybody thought DJ Premier did the track.
No, he just
but he just says, did the cuts.
If you look, if you're a DJ and you had the vinyls, you just scratches by DJ Premier.
Mm-hmm. I'm such an idiot. I'm like, why does it say DJ Premier?
And that shit right there worked out because at the time we were working out of the same studio, which was Firehouse. So Gangstar.
How did I not realize that scratch is so Premier too?
Yeah, it definitely. Get my name on the map, and by now I know I'm hitted.
Cause I see a rhyme, and girls be like, no, he did. So nonchalant. Word to my uncle and my aunt, I serve seeds like a restaurant. It ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. So in that case, your butt better step like a frat. Cause juice, I got a lot of it. Yo, wait, hey, Digga, way to really. You really lip synced your ad libs in this video, Will. Mm-hmm. You nailed every fucking one. Yo, so in this video, are you guys playing the characters of
the fuck he just...
You nailed the ad-libs. You went the woo, 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 and it actually showed you hitting each ad-lib. So in the video and this song too, are you guys still in character? Because if people don't know the Slaughterhouse album well, and after this, you're going to go listen to it if you've never heard. It's one of the best rap albums from that era. And it's basically about these guys, as Syph was saying, someone gets jacked and they come up with a group and the group is going to be super ignorant and stupid and just regular shit that'll get popular, right?
Right.
Ahead of its time, concept-wise, as an album. Even in this, are you guys being, playing that or are you being just you guys? Because this is not the Ace that we knew from the album before.
Right.
The way he even looks in this
now,
video.
Everything is transformed into this now. Now this is what you see. This is the INC now. This is what that transformed. That's why, you know, he's a dickhead, but in the sense of now kind of thinking, you know, trying to reinvent yourself and shit, that was his best way of doing that now. Because he know that at the time, you know, groups and shit that was what was more popular, groups. Like single solo shit, it was starting to kind of fade, but the group feel was coming into play at that time. So, you know, dickhead, but still, you know, he made a It was move.
It was a good decision. Okay.
Right.
And I respect that he just kept it. He was like, yeah, no, I'm going to do a group. I'm just going to call it Incorporated.
Right.
End of my name.
Right.
So you guys do 4 records on this album. You hit the road for this album?
Yeah, kind of. We did the 2-man tour because Ice U-Rock at the time, Ice and Unique, they had a job. So they were kind of like obligated to really, they couldn't, Ace couldn't guarantee that they're going to get fucking paid money missing time from their job like that. So yeah. at the time, they decided they wasn't rolling. So it was just basically me and Ace on the Slaughterhouse shit.
Who's DJing?
We didn't have a DJ at first. So we were just out. We was on fucking that tape. This shit was ill. To that tape. Short show, long show.
That's hot.
That's all you need, bro. The short show and the long show.
Short show, long show. That's how, and we determined on what we're going to do when we got there. Okay, y'all, short show. All right.
Who were you on the road with anyone else? Any other
road
acts?
Manager.
No, we were role managing ourselves at the time. It was, other than the person that was driving that worked for the label, which ironically was a fucking in relations related to Gladys Knight. This was like one of Gladys Knight's nephews.
Was it a Pip?
No, it wasn't a Pip. It was a Pip son. It was a Pip son.
Pip son.
Pip son that's related to Jay Dilla driving us. Yeah.
Whoa.
Get your shit right. Get your life right.
Jay Dilla's,
get your life
Jay Dilla's
right.
Related to one of the Pips.
Yes. Hold
third
on,
from the
though.
Left. Third from the left.
Listen. That's a whole nother fucking story.
All right.
But yeah. Yeah, so yeah, we basically was road managing ourselves.
This is Delicious Vinyl, right?
This is Delicious Vinyl now. They put us out on the road. We met up with some other artists that, like, say, if Delicious Vinyl at the time, I think they were distributed through Atlantic. One of them shits.
Yeah.
And, how you do that fucking, you go out on the road and then you meet another artist that's doing a fucking promo tour.
Right.
Those type of shows with the radio station. Yeah. Those type of shit.
Do you remember any
doing.
Of the people you did shows with? You have to have some specific memories from them. I know you were high the whole time, but.
Fuck. No. Like, people off the label, people that was on Capitol more, because it wasn't really too much.
I'm about to say, it wasn't just you and the Brandon Heavy.
Later on, it was Farside.
Yep, because they came with the first album.
Right. So, but later on, it was Farside. At first, we were just out. This basically was the East Coast shit we were doing together. Then later, now as we start to roll, we start coming out west, then now we're doing shit with Farside.
Dare I say you were born to roll?
You know it.
Sorry. So what was the story with Born to Roll?
Story with Born to Roll.
Were you a fan or nah?
No. Only thing I was a fan born of is that is... the original lyrics from Born to Roll is Jeep Ass Niggas. So now, publishing wise, we still get checks. So I didn't care. On that part, I know I wasn't a fan of it.
Wait, hold on. Why do you still get paid?
Because same lyrics.
Because the same lyrics. Yeah, we did the same lyrics.
So you're a writer on the composition.
Right.
He used the same lyrics. Why? Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted to.
It's a remix.
It's a remix.
But there was already so many remixes of Jeep Ass Nigga. There's 3 on the vinyl.
But see, at the same time, he was trying to capture a new audience, which he did. He dickhead, but smart move.
I love how you have to keep qualifying the good things that happen.
Yeah.
So for a lot of people, this is the only Mass A song they've ever heard, of course. A lot of people. I would say more than not, this is the Mass A song they know. This one platinum, right?
No.
Gold?
Almost.
Yo, he's wearing
close to it.
He's wearing a Neil Anderson jersey in the video. Just got a fat ass.
Uh-huh.
Wait, this was like what audience? Trying to get West Coast?
West Coast.
Helps with those shows with the Far Side.
Down south. You know, the whole spectrum.
Why not just do a new song? I mean, I don't mind it. I love
but,
the song.
You know, it kind of worked in a sense
A lot of car culture and shit.
It kind of worked in that sense and in the sense of bridging the gap between the first album to the second album.
Yeah.
And I guess he was trying to, right, trying to envision
and
where
has
he was
to
going.
Be Delicious Vinyl is a West Coast label.
There you go.
So there has to be some
kind
of West Coast influence.
We got to give them a little bit more than
right, to work with because they over there.
There you go.
So
I hated it, but
why didn't you like it?
Because I felt that we, at the time, I'm thinking that we were fucking going, East Coast shit. I want to hear some East Coast shit, like East Coast.
That's how I felt at the time. I was like,
I wasn't I knew what he was doing. I got it, but at first, I was really like, yo, man, what the fuck is going on, man? Like, really?
I don't know. I was always a West Coast fan, so it kind of went in my ears similar to stuff I was liking anyway, so.
No, I fuck.
But I can see what you're saying, like.
I fuck with the West Coast. Let the West Coast do the West Coast.
Right.
That, I fuck with them.
Right.
For
why
that.
Are you trying to do
right.
West
That's,
Coast
That
shit.
Was my point at the time. Like, I don't, come on. Like,
it's funny, though, because even though it did come across as a West Coast beat and also the base of it right. caters to the South,
right.
the original record is a New York record, right? Right?
Exactly.
Like an
original
old school,
concept.
Yeah.
Original concept. Which
like a Def Jam record.
Exactly. Ed Lover, Dr. Dre. Original concept record where that shit, what made it more down south too, because he added some 808s.
Right, of
That's
course.
What he added. When he added the 808s and the spots that he added, it made yeah. it a little bit more heavy, a little
right,
bit
right,
more
right.
bouncy or whatever. But the original record, yeah. Original
that comes
concept.
From like, sorry, that comes from like traveling on promo tours and hearing what's playing in other places.
Exactly. And I was out in Kansas for a few between like 88 and 89, I got to hear a lot of West Coast shit firsthand. So all
yeah,
that
the
Easy
Midwest,
E shit,
yeah.
all that shit, it trickled right to the Midwest. It's right yeah. here because it,
the Midwest fucked us with everything.
There you go.
Kinda,
so
like,
the Midwest didn't have no, it was no Nelly.
Sound, yeah.
No fucking Nelly. It was, yeah. you know, anything from the Midwest was either, it was like R&B or some shit like that. It was
right,
Prince.
Right, right. Yeah.
Shit like the Ohio Prince.
Yeah, the Midwest
like
is
that.
Funny for their hip hop
right.
in the early days because they liked everything. They didn't right. realize like, East Coast sound, West Coast. They just liked
nah,
hip hop.
Everything
like,
because they everything didn't have came it. It was yeah. trying, they didn't have a music coming. To say it's ours.
Yeah, because so, in the Midwest, you could go to a show one night and it'll be like Eazy-E, NWA, and then the next night it'll be like some East Coast shit. And then no one's even like tripping that it's like two different things. Like, wait, why were you in Kansas?
Man, school. I was out in college for a little while. And then I fucking came home and got that job at ASCAP. Where I met fucking Witch Doc, and yeah. That was it for me. I didn't think about school no more after that shit. I was like, yo, man, fuck this shit. I see niggas coming in the ASCAP picking up checks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, that's how much motherfuckers get for music, really? So like, that was another a way, like I said, I studied and watched. So from yeah. the inside, I'm learning publishing.
Publishing
writers,
is extremely
this,
hard to understand.
That. 50% of this, 50 of this, 100. Yeah. You start with 100, somebody write, and 50, you take, they get 50. I'm looking on shit like actual shit. I saw Marley Marl actual
publishing splits, yeah.
I'm looking at this shit because the shit is coming through the mailroom, which
right.
they call Office of Operations back then. It wasn't the mailroom. It's not the mailroom. It's Office of Operations. So I'm looking at this shit firsthand, and I'm like, yeah, I think this is something I want
to
get into.
I went to college for music business and all that stuff, and publishing is very hard to understand, and they don't want you to understand
no,
it fully
don't.
Because if they could get their hands on that, that's the shit that lasts
forever. Forever and ever.
You have a hit. If you ever get a hit record
forever
and you wrote on it.
And ever and ever.
But it's hard to, it's not tangible. You're not touching anything. You wrote a piece of it, and people don't understand. Making a beat is writing music. So they don't, you know, they just want to make a beat and get a video and get record sales, but publishing is where the fucking chunks of money come in.
That's where you live. That's where your longevity is. And they can get your hands on that publishing, like record labels. That's why, man, I don't knock major labels and shit like that. Obviously, back in the 90s, everybody wanted to get signed. It's not about that right now. Independency. Yeah. You're independent, yeah, that might be the best way for you to go. Not to say if somebody say, yo, look, I want to sign you to a deal. I mean, I probably be only signing like Duck Down or some shit like that. That's my family. But anything other than that, I'm not fucking with it. I'll do this shit independently and say, fuck it. My publishing, whatever, my samples that I'm going to use. Like the EP I did just now, the Bud EP, that shit is full with so much samples and I don't even give a fuck. Fuck y'all.
Yeah, fuck y'all.
Because it's like this. I'm not giving this shit away for free, man. We work hard to do this shit. Motherfuckers giving this shit away for free because they in fear of not doing good music. So motherfuckers will say, I don't sample. Okay, cool. You don't sample, but your shit is still bullshit anyway. It doesn't really matter. So maybe you need to sample. I don't give a fuck about you not sampling.
You just want to hear a good song.
I want to hear a good beat. I mean, a good track. That's another thing. Let's clarify that before we get off track. Beats and tracks, two different things.
Okay.
This is a beat. That's a beat. A track, it's a difference. It has different elements, choruses, breakdowns, you know, bridges. That's a track. So when niggas say, yo, you got a beat? I need a beat. I don't do beats. I do tracks.
It's going to have a full thing.
Yes. It's, yeah. What the fuck? What are you talking about? A beat? Like, a beat is like the SP-1200. That's a drum machine. You make a beat. That's a beat. Then you add other elements to it. It becomes a track.
You might be focusing on slang.
The language.
Yeah, the lingo a little too much.
Nah, but it's the truth. I don't make beats. We don't make beats. Team Demo does not make beats. It's not a beat. It's a track.
It's a complete thing.
It's a complete fucking thing. It's a big fucking difference. What? I don't give a fuck. Just like when we was like, yo, freestyling and off the top of the head. Yeah. Really? Really? Yeah, freestyle could be off the top of the head. Yeah.
It can be. Yeah, it usually can be. Is not these days.
Right. Well, you know, and then we're going to say, yo, kick a freestyle. I'm like, yo, that could be a written rhyme or off the top of the head.
So what most did you want to clarify about the Ace situation?
That everything that he said was a fucking lie. Fucking dickhead. He's a liar.
Which part did you want to clarify?
Everything
he said was a fucking lie.
That shit is all a lie.
What did he say? I don't remember.
First
of all, when y'all asked him a question, he's over here sitting up fucking twitching like a little fucking bitch because he's fucking lying. Like you asked him a question, and then you said something about the INC and the demise, and he was like, yo, that, yeah, solely Digger. Dig is the sole reason why the INC broke up. How the fuck is the second nigga in the group the reason why the group breaks up? But I'm not that good. And I didn't rhyme on beat. He tried to downplay my importance, but at the same time, I broke up the group. Does that make sense? What are you talking about? It's called Master Ace Incorporated. It's not Lord Digger Incorporated. You're the spearhead of the group. I can't break up the group.
Why?
That's dumb. Then you said I got signed. Because Digger got a deal behind my back. He went and got signed to Loud.
I remember that.
First of all, I got signed to Big Beat. Fuck are you talking about? Your multiple sclerosis is fucking with you, Duke. I got signed to Big Beat. You came to Big Beat after me. Craig Kalman signed you, and that's why I left. I can't be on the same label with a fucking fraud. So that's why my relationship with Big Beat, I left. I recorded. Shout out to the Reef for giving me the opportunity, but I couldn't stay there. Once they signed him, I stopped fucking with him. That's why I went to Big Beat. Why the fuck would you sign him?
Why'd they sign?
He never came out on Big Beat.
Because he sucked moose cock. What the fuck?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
Well, at that time, yeah. He didn't have no records. Reef used to call me and say, I don't know what your man is doing. Why would Reef call me? Yeah, exactly. Craig Kalman said they signed him because he sold, a quarter of a million records? But that's because of me and Paula. Yeah.
Why would you say it's because of you and Paula?
Because he had no hardcore edge. The hardcore edge came from me and Paula. Nobody was respected.
This is the INC album?
Yeah.
Slaughterhouse.
The second album was called Sitting on Chrome.
Sitting on Chrome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, third album, yeah.
As far as the street credibility and stuff like that, nobody's fucking with Ace, man. Like that, my nigga. Nigga sitting, come on, man. You did a video, you had your hand with a puppet's ass, nigga. Me and the biz. You from Brownsville,
that
my nigga.
That was a great video.
I don't give a fuck what you had your hand up a puppet's ass, nigga. This is me and the biz. Really? You doing song? First of all, biz didn't want to do the song with you because you corny, my nigga. So they encouraged you to do the song. They said you sound like biz, so you did it like a dickhead, nigga. Come on, son. I get it, but I don't get it. You're not from Brownsville, nigga. Niggas from Brownsville, Sean P, rest his soul, would never sit with his hand up a puppy's ass talking about me and the biz. That would never happen. Niggas from Brownsville don't do that. And you lied. You're not from Brownsville. You lived there for a little while, but you lived in Flatbush, my nigga. Come on, son. Like,
it sounds like you're upset by a variety of things.
What's the thing that, where did it go wrong?
Creativity, like the whole creative process of us doing what we had to do, he didn't really know what the fuck he was doing, man. Like, we trying to tell him, you know, like, do this. This is what is going to bring this forward for everybody. We're in a group. You got to fucking do shit for everybody. It just can't be for you. What about Paula? What about Digger? Mm. You know what I'm saying? You got a song called B-Side that featured me and Paula. Why wouldn't you put that out instead of doing Sitting on Chrome? My nigga, like, that shit is cool, but That's not representing a group. If we a group, we a group. So, I mean, other players in the group now have to be showcased. Yeah, it's okay to do the song, you know, Who You Jacking, but yeah, we didn't do a video for that. Mm. There was no showcasing of Paula and Digga. That, the only showcase was Saturday Night Live. That was it. Other than that, it was just a shit. But we a group? It doesn't make sense. The INC meant nothing. It was just a fucking name, INC. You think about that. What comes after that? A whole nother group with INC. Murder, Inc. makes it more popular than we did. To snatch up the whole shit. An almost similar fucking format, everything. A girl, a guy, a nigga. It was almost the same shit. Bitch singing. That was us. Lachey. We had Lachey in the group. You know, she can't sing worth the shit, but that was the same fucking shit. Same shit. You had Lashanti, you know, nigga rhyming. You know, it's the same shit. INC, Murder, Inc. It's, come on. Snatch up your whole shit. You do nothing. Come on, man. Get the fuck out of here. You fraudulent. That's why people can do shit like that to you. But don't lie. Tell the truth about the situation. And then, you know, the funny shit is, you go
around. What is he saying? What does he mean you got a deal behind his back?
First of all, here's the thing. I was signed to his production company. Let's talk football. You know football.
I do.
Look, free agent. My contract expired in the process of us now working on the second album, going into the Sitting on Chrome album. My production contract with his company expired. Now, Reef comes to me and says, all right, first, we were going to look for deals. First offer we got was maybe 60,000 loud out in L.A. because this is before they were out here. They didn't even establish themselves out here yet. So we were out there, off at like 60,000. All right, cool. So we started moving around, searching for shit. So in the process, Delicious Vinyl stepped up and they wanted to fuck with me. Cool, but I already know that's going to have to go through Ace. Creativity level, we on two different levels. I can't let that happen. So now it's like, okay, I'm signed to your production. It expired in the process. So now I see Reef one night at a strip club. He goes, yo, what the fuck you doing? I'm like,
disgusting.
Animal.
Wait. Nothing.
No. I was fucking. No, not this one. He's like, yo, what the fuck you doing? So I'm like, yo, whatever. I want to sign you. Let's get this paperwork together. All right, cool. I go back and tell Ace. Ace looks at me like, I believe you when I see the paperwork. I'm telling him, yo, look, sign me back to your little production company so you can get your money. Nothing happens. First of all, conflict of interest. His lawyer is my lawyer, and that's his manager. They got the company together. I didn't have a lawyer at that time. Everything I'm brokering by myself for Blues Brothers, everything is me. I didn't have a lawyer. I got a lawyer now in the process. When the contract was up, I went and got a lawyer. Shout out to Scott Felcher.
Oh, Scott Felcher. That was my first lawyer.
You understand? Right. So I went and got a lawyer, and then now there's no more talking between us now. Talk to him. Because now it's a conflict of interest. You're trying to get me to now sign to Delicious Vinyl, not even under your contract. Delicious Vinyl made an offer. Scott Felcher goes and talks to Craig Kalman. He makes another offer. I like this one. We go there. That's it. That's plain and simple. No contract. I don't owe you shit. Free agent. Bye.
Well, here's my situation right now. You're very passionate about this, and I understand it because that's a personal situation between you guys. You know, and it's a bummer as a fan to hear because obviously I'm a big fan of you and big fan of Ace. Love this album. Love a lot of Ace's work. And also, we have to talk about some of your other stuff.
Right.
I have to.
Right. But I just had to clarify that.
And I know you did. And I don't think that it sounds as unhappy as you sound with the situation now. I still believe y'all could sit in a room and probably have a conversation all these years later and make it all right.
Why do you say shit like that?
I want things to be okay, Saif.
No.
Say you want them to. Don't say. I think you can.
We can't
have
do
no
that.
Idea.
It's past that point. You know why?
Call him a dickhead 173 times.
You know why? You know why it's past that point? You know why it's past that point? Because he lied and said we did fix it up. But then if we did, why would you go and put a verse on your EMC album referring to me? Everybody know you're talking about me. You tried to subliminally do it. Come on, man. Why would you do that? If we cool, you go and do that? We not cool. It's a rap.
What's one of the lines he said?
Oh, my God.
World tour, girls tour? Anything like that?
Whoa. I don't know. Some shit. First of all, I didn't even hear it right away. I wouldn't listen to it till somebody forced me to sit and listen to it. He said some shit, you didn't get the memo, washed up weed heads shouldn't make demos.
And I don't know much about what you're doing, but I've heard you say demos something twice. That's the name of your crew?
Well, no. Team Demo is the production
team Demos.
Shout out to Team Demo.
My friend Jay is a Team Demo.
My whole, yo, that's my team and that's my production team, man.
So what, and the line is something?
Yeah, whatever. Something about production, my career. No, not production. He was like, something about I shouldn't make demos and my passport is washed or expired like my career. Some shit like that. I don't know. But once I heard that, then I knew that.
What's
okay,
the point?
Right. Yeah. You can't save him, so it's a wrap. Right, anybody that's trying to save Ace, don't do it. Don't worry about it. It's okay. I got this.
Anyways, well, can we get to Biggie?
Yeah, sure.
I want to find out. I mean, would you say that was the biggest? Is that the biggest moment of your career?
Outside of the fucking fake INC? Yeah, of course.
What record did you do on the Big Yum?
Well, we actually did three.
You did three records?
Yeah. One More Chance, Me and My Bitch, Everyday Struggle.
That was right.
One More Chance? The original one?
The original.
Y'all did that?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was Trackmasters.
That was a remix.
No, I know. I'm talking about the album. With the album version.
Oh, okay. Nah.
With Kim on the beginning, like all the girls calling. I really liked the album version. But I thought it was a Poke, Tone and Poke beat.
This is where the Blues Brothers now expand their
Blues Brothers is you and Norman.
Me and Norm.
Norm.
Which doc?
I'll call him Norman. Norm.
How you doing? And all that bitch do is call me.
That's my bro, man. Vanilla, honeys call me bigger, the
condom filler, whether it's stiff tongue. Great song.
Really, really good. You said you did that.
I mean, the remix is definitely an incredible record, but the album version doesn't get the credit.
It's very good.
Yeah.
You said you did Everyday Struggle?
Yes.
Well, that's not even, this isn't even a, this is like beyond a classic record right here. Right.
Everyday Struggle, One More Chance, and what was the other one?
Me and My Bitch.
Me and My Bitch.
Oh, Me and My Bitch. Another song that doesn't get credit.
But shout out to all my people, man.
I don't want to live no more. I know, I don't know why it's coming out of one side now.
Very weird.
All my,
yo, you Austin, you fucking up, man.
Yo, yo, Austin, you don't
these engineers suck.
If you don't fix this shit, we coming in there. We sending Digga in there. So how did this come? How did the Biggie stuff come about? Yeah, but I still want a physical for my car.
First Bake.
First Bake.
Digga and...
That's the Bud album.
Heisman.
So how did the Biggie thing come together?
That's a fucking another story. That shit right there. That's the crazy story. Cause
that's what we're here for.
I'm gonna make it fast. Mr. C, DJ X, calls me and says, "I see you guys got into Unsigned Hype," which I got into Unsigned Hype in the source. So he calls me and says, "Yo, how do I do that?" And I'm like, "Yo, I know Matty C." He's like, "Yo, all right. So you think I could push some shit through there?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "So what you got?" He said, "Yo, I got this dude, man, that's I'm trying to fuck with or whatever, man. He real nice. And I'd like to get him Unsigned Hype." Now, mind you, I never heard him. I never heard Big. I never heard one thing he said. All I told Matty it was I knew him. Matt said, "You know him?" Yeah. Pushed it through. Long story short, that's it. Takes it to Matt. Matt goes, listens to it, Unsigned Hype. Matt goes to Puffy.
Boom, 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 bam, bam.
Now, the funny kick part to that is that Matt thought I knew Big because I told him I did. So now he's up in the office. I leave a tape with Matt. It has two of those beats on it, which was One More Chance, Me and My Bitch. Original versions, just did them at Witch Doc's house. He gives him the tape. He's playing the shit for Big. He said, "Yo, look, I got some beats from your man." So Big goes, "This is my man." Ooh. Like that, like with the confused face. Like, "Yo, your man Digga." He's like, "Well, word?" Like, he just plays it off.
Like, it's somebody.
Right, right. Like, because we talk about it later. Me and Big talk about the shit later. So he plays it off like, "Oh, word?" So he's playing the shit. And then he's like, "Yo, I fuck with them." So he gives him the tape. Matt just gives him the tape. Matt calls me up. "Yo, I gave your boy the tape."
Who?
Me.
Who's
I'm
your
like,
boy?
I'm like, who? He's like, Big.
Christopher Wallace.
Big. He's like, "I gave Big the tape." I'm like, "Okay. Oh, all right.
Sounds good."
So then, next thing I know, I get a call from him. "Yo, I want them two beats." I'm like, "Them shits ain't even finished." "I don't care." There you go. Me and My Bitch.
That's crazy.
One More Chance. Next thing I know, pay me back. But 2 weeks later, we laying shit down in the studio.
Ew, that's years later that came out.
What? At what? That? No. This came out maybe.
No.
Where's Unsigned Hype? No.
What? What do you mean?
It's a couple of years.
What?
Yeah.
When Big was in Unsigned Hype? Oh.
Yeah, the
between
time
from big and unsigned hype.
It wasn't a couple of years. Like, maybe like two, like maybe like a year and a half, maybe,
no,
if that.
Yeah.
Hold yeah, because that shit was pushed through quick.
No, but think about it. Ready to Die. They're still,
Ready to Die was 93.
But they're still partying bullshit.
94.
Right. But that got pushed through right in that mix. Partying Bullshit was before that, though.
Partying Bullshit was not before Unsigned Hype, though. You're talking about 2 years.
I think.
Listen, you were high, bro.
No, I don't know, man.
Because Unsigned Hype, then you have Party and Bullshit.
Than, yo, where were you when you heard that, Party and Bullshit? Because I probably heard it
you
before.
You definitely heard it before me.
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm thinking timeline-wise, yeah, it's kind of close. Well, but let's say 2 years.
All
right.
So do you guys end up recording all those songs with Big?
Yeah.
And is his process, what was his process like? What was the real life with him in the studio like as opposed to the, you know, version that everyone gives? What was it like for you?
Like, the shit was just like, we take whatever we was doing outside to the studio. Just, we smoke, we drink, we eat. Sit there. Next thing you know, he disappears. I don't know where the fuck he goes. Like, you hear a voice. He's inside. The fucking, it's dark in there. You don't hear nothing. You don't see nothing. Yo, turn the beat up. Just like that. We'll be sitting there talking, laughing. Big ass table. We in motherfucking, I don't know if it was a Hit Factory or maybe it could have been, not Hit Factory, the other shit. Not
Right
unique,
Track?
Not Unique. Nah, Right Track was on 26. We started going there later. We started going to Right Track later, like after maybe the first couple of joints was laid. Then they had the small room in Right Track on 26. We had that room. But this so was
unique.
Like, Unique. What's the other shit? Quad.
Quad.
We in Quad. So he had, Puffy had us on one floor, Usher on the next. It was just like one big circle, family. He'd go from here, go upstairs, fuck with Usher, come back downstairs, fuck with us. Sit there for a little while, and then we run him the fuck out. Get out. Get the fuck out. That's basically what happened. Just like that, in a nutshell. He'll call, yo, get some more chicken wings. We eat, smoke, drink. He records. We leave. Go back on the block. Simple as that. Straight cheese. This shit was just normal. He treated everybody like, no, like I wasn't with them all the time. I wasn't from that neighborhood, but when I'm with them, I'm with them. Like, for real, for real. Like, I think, I don't know. Other than Easy Mo B, I think I spent more time with him in the studio, just an outside producer. It probably, yeah, Easy Mo B definitely than me. Like,
everything's just felt regular. Like,
yeah,
it didn't
just
feel
like some
like,
regular shit. It was like, we just go buy fucking dime bags of skunk from the fucking, across the street from the fucking little Jamaican, a little, what do you want to call them, health food store shit. And we gone. 40s, whatever, drinks, we out.
So it didn't feel like there was the creation and the emergence of a hip-hop legend and superstar.
Nope.
You were just
at
hanging
the time,
out,
we were just like, we were just hanging records. Out. It's like, we were just out in the fucking corner, hanging out in the studio. And then he decided to rap. Just like that. Just like how you see him on the corner when they show the footage of him when he was rhyming. Just like that. Like, he just comes up, see, he just gets the mic. Yo. Just like
what
that.
What kind
I
of bitches are around in these days?
Good question.
A lot of chicks in the studio?
Not that many, but definitely some skanks. Definitely some
skunk
skanks.
Skunk and skanks, baby.
Definitely a couple of skanks, but not that many, though. Not
still
that many. Still early.
But so, everybody's around.
Everybody's around.
Lil C's.
Lil C's.
D-Rock.
Klep. Everybody.
There was a lot of niggas around.
Yeah. What did this end up leading to for you? Do you remember, like, what other credits ended up falling into place after this?
Oh, man. God, shit. Like, a lot of remixes. Like, shit just started happening. Like, we landed a remix for Tyga and Q-Tip, the song called Who Planned It. I don't know, a lot of people probably don't remember that shit.
Mm-hmm. What was it? Delicious Vinyl? What was that?
No, that was on, I think that was going through Rough House or some shit like that back then. And we did that, and then started doing shit with, you remember the dances, Mariah Carey dance and Mysterious Misfits?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
Oh, you did those records?
We got into a pipeline with them, pause, and on some.
I didn't know they were Mariah Carey's dancers. Yeah. I knew they were dancers.
Yeah, they were backup. They was. Yeah,
they got. They had one hot record that was.
I really liked it.
It was only really two. I only think two of them really danced. I think that was like Peekaboo and somebody else. I think, but yeah, they were like some. Mariah Carey, if your name's Peekaboo.
Yeah, you got to.
You got to be a dancer.
Yeah. But
what about this? What about this?
But you won't let me love you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ha 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 ha.
Party people all around the town. It's the ODB, kid.
That's an interesting story with that one, too.
Coming through your area. And I'm going to tell you one time. You're going to love this.
I never been tooken out. I keep MCs looking out.
So did you deal with them at all? Because this is a remix. This is a, like a more straight ahead remix, right?
Mm-hmm.
So did you have to? Did you actually get to deal with Ol' Dirty at all?
After the fact, this is a funny story too. This right here is hilarious. So we get the acapellas on the fucking DAT with the time code on it. So all that bullshit. So now we sitting there, me and Norm. So we going through shit. And we actually had two tracks that we, you know, we was deciding which ones we were going to use. So they both sounded good. So we used to just like kind of like hit the fucking ASR and kind of like time it and then just let it play and like ride like a fucking like a DJ. Just let the shit play.
So, like a straight blend.
Right. And then just put it on the tape, put it on the DAT tape, did two versions and shit. So we take the shit. And Dante Ross, he hears it. So he didn't want that version. He wanted something else. I'm like, yo, I don't want the other version. In my head, I'm like, yo, I don't want the other version. We got to find a way to finagle this. So I'm the premier finagler. So what happened was Norm couldn't get to the studio at that time. So I'm responsible for everything. Oh, I'm responsible? All right, cool. So now we get there. SP's there. Sonic's there. Boom. The beat that he wanted, I play that first. But it's one small problem. I just switched the numbers on the SP so it could play off just a little bit, so it'll tell off. So we're sitting there. He's pressing it. It's playing. It gets to a point where it's starting to tail off.
And get like not work because he chose that.
Ah,
so you now made it sound like shit.
He comes, he's listening. I'm like, yo, I don't know what's going on, man. When we first did it, it never did this. Like, I'm yo, this is look, it's tailing. He'll play it. Engineer, play it. So he's playing the shit. He's listening. So this shit starts to tail off. I'm like, yo, but I got the other beat though. I think that shit locked perfect. The other beat, yo, I'm telling you.
I drop signs like girls be dropping, baby.
There you go. So now when I go back to the SP, I put it back to the right tempo where it's really supposed to be. Run stop, bong. There you go. And he didn't like that. He didn't like it.
But you ended up getting it in.
Of course.
How many of these did you sell?
More than Eminem and Royce 5'9".
Syfe? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. This was the biggest one, right? Syfe, how much did this move when you were a Fab Beats?
Don't test me, son. There might be death behind curtain number one. Pantyhose niggas get scared and then they run.
Now, you cleared this with Bob Barker, obviously.
Get the fuck out of here. You wish I did. Can we just talk about sample clearances?
I know.
What? A clearance sale? We don't do clearance sales. Man.
How much? You don't know how many.
No, we did it, though, with Big Joe. We had to, though. But, yeah.
But not with this.
No, not with that.
They came after me, though.
Pause.
This probably sold what? I feel like this. I've heard the number for this record that we're talking about close to like 100,000 or something like
that. No, get the fuck out of here. Never 50,000? Never that much. It could be. All right. I could say anywhere between 25 and 50. Because I lost count after about like 20.
By the way, it would be tough to know what sold more between that and Boom. Royce Boom sold a lot.
Yeah.
Those are probably the two biggest records. We're talking about Game Records, by the way. That was what, Schecter's label?
Uh-huh.
John Schecter.
John Schecter from the Source label.
Which another 6 Degrees of Separation was at the Source.
Right.
First. So I knew him from there too.
Oh yeah, from the Source. All the way back.
Yeah.
Full circle.
So I used to just be up in the Source for no reason. Like I worked there.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Lord Digger's record right now, the Bud EP, First Bake, mm-hmm. all produced by Team Demo, of course.
Of course.
Shout out to my man, JD.
Wise.
Who introduced us.
Wise.
Shout out to Wise.
J. Cole, Sal, my man, Cozy, man, and Tone, man. DJ Dial Tone. Down in Virginia.
Yeah, very talented group of dudes down in the DMV. So this is out. Where can people get this the Bud EP?
It's on
are you too
Bandcamp.
High to even? You too
it's
high
on
to,
Bandcamp. It's a bunch of places, man. But Bandcamp is definitely, you can go to Bandcamp. Definitely just don't make me tell you everywhere else, but Bandcamp, you can definitely go there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Or you can just get it from me in the street. I have a bunch of them on.
Hand to hand.
Yeah, I'll do hand to hand. I'll deliver it to your house.
Sife, do you have anything to offer before we go enjoy this beautiful Friday afternoon? I'm going to City Field today.
You're going to City Field?
Yeah, for the I'm doing a live broadcast, and then I have the Yankees Mets game.
Ah,
I started my new radio job, Sife.
This
week
for your
it's
new
official,
job.
Official, yes. We're
good for you, man. Congrats.
Thank you. Started this week. It's fun. It's fun. It's just weird being at a different radio station. It's very strange.
Got to be weird.
And
got to be a brain fuck.
It is, and it's weird because I've never started a job where I was already sort of someone first.
Right. I was going to say that. You're a piece of shit peon, Ebro bootlicker at Hot 97.
Exactly.
But then you go over to ESPN and you're still there. And then you go over to ESPN and you're the new...
I know, not a new guy who's been on mornings for 7 years.
Yes.
You know, so
you're new. Huh?
So it's very interesting in how I decide to act. Like, I had to actually stop for a minute and be like, hold on, I'm creating. This is my opportunity to start over again. This is a new. Like, how do you want people to think of you?
Right.
And that's everything from being late or being sloppy or being nice or being too nice or being accommodating or being too accommodating. All of these things are going to set the tone for how you're thought of in the building.
Right.
And it's been so long, like, as I'm sure you're used to from your new ventures now, like anything you do, I'm so used to things being hot, just being that way, for better or for worse, in some cases for better, in some cases for worse, that it's an interesting adjustment, but it has been super fun. So I'm going to go do that. And this is a classic New York Friday fall weather day.
Is it? Definitely. No, it's a little too hot for me. I was sweating on the train, man.
Was it?
I hate sweat. I hate... Sorry.
What about yesterday, though? Fine. I didn't
no, it was the day before yesterday.
That well, the
yesterday
day, was hot, yeah. The day before
today,
yesterday.
Today was definitely a good
day. It's still good.
Where's the hoodie weather? Let's go. Listen, fuck this heat.
Let me, can I just say before
Matt Mac Hayes is a dickhead?
That part, okay. We already know. It's been established.
You covered
that. We covered that pretty good. Just all my people, man, I really, really, really fuck with. Like, my dude, my management, man, Elite Fleet. My FBM man over there in Amsterdam. And Joe Pesci, man, and the Cellar Dwellers, UG, and...
Cellar Dwellers.
Love Cellar Dwellers.
You know what I'm saying? My whole Duck Down family, man. Just... Y'all already know, man. Listen, real rap, it's not gone, man. It's here. And, yeah...
We got to work on.
We lost a lot of people, man, this year too, man. Like yeah. Pumpkinhead and yo, shout out, yo,
Pumpkinhead.
Man.
Pumpkinhead,
yeah,
man, he died.
Yeah, you didn't know about that? No. I didn't see you around then.
When and how?
J. Arch, man, and
Pumpkinhead died about 6 months ago.
What?
Maybe right?
Maybe about four.
I was coming
I'd say
back
four.
I was coming back from L.A. It was several months ago. And
yo, my G man, yo, Hefty man, Hefty Metal man, rest in power, man. This just happened like recently, man. It's like it's crazy, man. This shit is crazy, man.
It's been a crazy year.
Well, let me tell you guys something. There's also a very unpleasant reality, which is that I literally know of someone, whether I'm close with them. Know them from someone else, or they're like a celebrity who I was have maybe met or supported their career or something. Literally, it's like a couple times a month now that someone dies.
Yeah,
it's sort of the nature as the years go on, and your circle gets bigger every year. Our circle gets bigger in some way, unless you're like a total hermit. But otherwise, as you get older, you meet new people, And then as that world expands, that's just the number increases of those that you lose that you know or have a relationship with.
It's very, it's been a hard, rough year, man.
Now, this is what I want to say. You're not going to give a fuck. And I don't care if you give a fuck. But this is what I'm going to say. You are a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
This is my theory in life. You don't have to follow it. I'm just going to say it. You're a grown man. People that you know have passed away in recent times. I think that should make you realize that life is too short to be bickering and upset about things. I think you need to forgive Ace. I think Ace needs to forgive you. I'm not saying you guys got to be best of friends, but it would be cool if there was some kind of mutual bonding, not bonding, but some kind of respect.
Agree to disagree, but have love for the history and what you guys did for
each other. If he died tomorrow or if you died tomorrow, you one of you or both of you would regret not at least burying the hatchet.
I think that's reasonable.
That's just me, though. That's how I live my life. You don't have to. You're a fucking thugged out Florida slash Brooklyn nigga. You're probably going to not listen to me. But no, I'm just saying.
I take. You know what?
Forgiveness helps you.
Right. Yes, that's true.
You. I'm saying this, man, I've been on some real energy positive shit lately, reading about all this type of shit. You get, even on this podcast, which I think is funny, calling him a dickhead and all that shit, it makes for a great interview and podcast. But I could tell that is weighing on your subconscious. Oh, and
I know
if you
it,
let
I know
it go,
it
life gets so much better.
No, but
and see, you can still be upset about the shit he did. Right. He's going to be still upset about the shit you did. But to have that angst,
like I said, I try to. You know, but once I see that you do, when once you go and do, you do a verse after all of that, you said it was cool, but then you do the verse, then that let me know that it's bothering him more than it's bothering me.
It's bothering him too, and I hope he's listening to this, you know, and taking the same advice.
You did a verse, my G, and the niggas try to act like you didn't say nothing, and then when I say something about it, they look at me like I'm the bully.
I get it. I get it 100%.
Hey, listen, let me tell you something right now. Your relationship with Ace is much, much deeper than what I'm about to mention. But by the time me and Combat Jack were at the point where we were at a couple months ago, there was such a back and forth now of basic go fuck yourselves in different ways.
Right.
I'd lost track of kind of who was the good guy and who was the bad guy anymore. It was kind of like we'd both been like, fuck you, fuck you. And when Sean P died and me and Combat Jack talked, listen, and him and I don't nearly have it. We don't have a history, really. You and Ace have a real history. I will tell you, even though I didn't think I cared about it that much, when people mention his name around me or anything like that, I feel great that I don't have any tension there. Yeah. It feels good. Right. I am like, oh, yeah, he hits me up, me and Combat Jack.
And is he coming over for a barbecue? Right. No.
Right, we're good, though. Might do a podcast together. Right. If the situation comes, it's just nice that it's a positive thing. And it's like, hey, maybe it could change over time. You never know. Anyway, Sife, that was a very positive message you ended up.
I try.
Thanks, Sife. I mean, that's a good try, though. But
I try. Yeah,
in time. I
did. I did take heed. I'm listening to what you said. But
and even if it's not with him, just in general, forgiveness.
Right. I did kind of, you know, let it go, but then, like I said, when I heard that,
well, maybe he'll hear this and he'll feel, and you never know. You never know. Is the door? What if he came to you? Would the door be open if he came to you and was like, "Yo, I shouldn't have done that verse"?
I think it's going too far, though.
If he died tomorrow, how would you feel? You knew you wouldn't feel happy. You wouldn't be happy of someone's death.
No, I wouldn't be happy with someone's death, but I wouldn't show up at his wake or funeral.
But then you feel bad that you didn't.
Nah.
You don't think that you did? Nah. You don't think you did?
Nah, I don't think so.
There's no way you could tell that now.
I don't think so. I don't wish death upon anyone. But that right there, nah. There's no.
Listen, in Narcos,
because once you do shit to certain people, I don't know. You don't know.
But think about, but Digga, in the grand scheme of things, and Saif, keep in mind, we're trying to bowl through some serious Brooklyn pride.
I'm not saying it's easy. But I'm just saying it's
in the grand scheme of things. Yes, there's some shit there. Right. When we're talking about like fucked up shit,
right?
It could get a billion times worse than fucking verbal jabs on records and
right. Well,
there are people have said shit in rap that's even way worse. Right. Yo, between fucking Pac and Big, shit was worse.
Right. But that was more exaggerated too, because that was an agenda behind that one. But this right here is some real shit, and I feel that it gets swept under the rug because, you know, people were like, you know, like, yeah, leave it alone. It's passing. No, you can't, because this shit fucked up a lot of shit. With, you know, the whole INC and all this shit really got fucked up because of the shit that he did. And then, you know, for people to sit back, for the people that know us mutually, to think that it was me, that hurts me more, because now I'm looking at them, they're looking at me like,
it was both, Ace, it was both Ace, of you. It was everybody.
Ace told us what you did, but not tell them the real story. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got people that look at me, that know us mutually, that grew up with us, looking at me funny, thinking that I did some shit to him. I didn't do shit to you, dude. But you lied to them to hurry up and tell a story. So now it's off of you, now it's on me.
I mean,
that's kind
of
corny.
Of course, listen, I'm not.
If we all sat down together and you told a story, and we both said told the same story, all of us, meaning Paula, the DJ, Lachey, Ace, and me, that you can't tell that same story, because three of us gonna be saying the same thing, and then two gonna be saying something totally different. They're married. They're gonna stick together. We telling the real story.
What if Lachey was like, "Yo,
nah,
he is a
that
dick.
Would never. Nah, she would never. She would never. She would be going against her. That's the hand that feeds her. Come on, she would never do that. But what I'm trying to say, this is real shit. I'm not. I would have wanted to bury the hatchet. Dead ass serious. I would want to have yo, nigga say, yo, you go to do this show. We gonna bring out Ace and y'all, you know, do some shit together. That shit is cool, but that's not happening. So
I don't know. You never know. You never know. Life is long, Type. Yeah, or short, depending on you look at it.
Life is long and life is short.
And life is short.
Both ways.
Hey, Digga, thank you for coming
by,
bro.
Thanks, Digga.
Yo.
Much appreciated.
Thanks for having me, man.
One App out. Sif, I got some cool things to tell you about One App in the future that's going to happen. It's going to be very cool.
Nice.
Including A3C. You know, they've announced our guests.
Yeah.
Oh, at least really? Two of them. Yeah, at A3C, we have De La Soul.
Ah.
And then we have another guy who's like, I don't know, he's kind of well-known, Rakim Allah. So if this is the first time you're hearing this, I hope you stuck around, because, yes, this is the first time we said it out loud. In Atlanta, we're doing live Juan Epstein's with De La Soul and Rakim. I don't know who the other one is, if there's a third event. We've been talking about a bunch of different things. We'll see. It's going to be very exciting. Digga, we out.
Yes.
Peace.
Peace.